In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The words of James: be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And don't kid yourselves. You first have to be a hearer of the word before you can be a doer of the word. James would have us consider this business of hearing and doing this morning, and speaking too. So it's about ears and it's about tongues. It's about our hearing, our speaking, and our doing. The word goes in, that's hearing. The word comes out, that's speaking. And in between, the word does its thing, that's the doing. It's a lot like breathing. The air goes in, and the air goes out, and in between, the air does its thing. It oxygenates the body. In the next chapter of James, James will talk about breathing, about faith and works, and he says that works are to faith as breath is to the body, and if a body isn't breathing, it's dead, and so faith that isn't working is dead. But before James can talk about such things as faith and works, he needs to talk about the word and hearing. That's because faith, like every other good and perfect gift, is from above. From above is where God is. From above is where our new birth is, where our life is. We are, in the words of Jesus, born from above, by water and by spirit in holy baptism. And this, of course, being from above, is God's doing, not our doing, as James puts it so well. I think for all the complaining about James that you hear, James turns out to be a better Lutheran than many seem to think that he is. He says, of his own will, of God's own will, his choice, his purpose, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You didn't choose to be born of your mother, nor did you choose to be conceived of your parents, nor did you choose to be born from above. That's God's doing, not yours. And never mind what all those born-againers have to say about that. They need to listen to James. They seem to like James. They ought to read him once in a while. And we need to hear James too, not just skip over him because some people don't like him or because he wasn't universally recognized in the first few centuries. We need to have a good hearing of James, or we're going to start patting ourselves on the back for making the right religious choices, joining the right churches, making the right moves. The unchangeable Father of lights willed, he willed to birth us through the word of truth, that is, through the gospel of Jesus, so that we might be a kind of first fruits of his new creation. First fruits, that's what you are. First fruits are the fruits that come first. The first tomato on the vine. The first ripened apple on the tree. More to come, lots more. A whole new creation is on its way, awaiting the appearance of Jesus. But already now, as the old creation dies, and it is dying. My goodness, is it dying? Things warming up, bacteria run amok, it's dying, no question about it. And yet, God has his first fruits of the harvest, the new creation. That's you, me, us, believers sprinkled like salt throughout the world to show the world that even though the world is dying, yet there is life abundant in Jesus. It's a privilege. It's by grace. It's a gift undeserved on our part, all by the word of truth having its way with us, killing us, making us alive, drowning the sinner, raising up the saint, killing sin and raising up righteousness. And it's all God's work, a good and perfect gift from the Father of lights through his Son, who is the light of the world, by the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, the Apostle Paul once wrote. He who has ears, Jesus says, let him hear. Everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, says James. That's good advice even for our own conversations, don't you think? Listen first, speak second, put a check on your anger. That ought to keep things kind of nice and simple. Wouldn't life be simpler if we listened first and spoke second, instead of forming our sentences while the other person is speaking? How much disagreement could be avoided that way? Or as our teachers always reminded us, we have two ears and we have one mouth, so I guess we're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak, if only we would. And that's true of our own conversations between each other. How much more is it true of our conversation, our dialogue with God? Quick to hear, slow to speak, even slower to anger. Or before we can exhale our prayers, our praises, and all that stuff, we need to inhale, take in the Word and the Spirit of God. We need to hear from God before He hears from us. Now, here's where the problem is. We're born deaf. Deaf to God's Word. There's this ringing in our ears. There is this tone deafness. It's caused by Adam and Eve's rebellion that tuned out the Word of God and tuned in to the Word of the devil. We prefer our Word to God's Word. And therefore, we simply don't want to shut up and listen. We want our voices to be heard. We want our opinions to be registered. We want our protests to be duly noted. Before a righteous word can come out of our unrighteous mouths, a steady diet of righteous words needs to be streaming into our ears. Unless the Lord opens our lips, our mouths will not declare His praise, not naturally. Before we can pray, praise, and give thanks, we need to be still and listen. Hear the word of the Lord. By the way, that's why you will not find in this hymnal or in the new one a service of prayer and praise. That's us talking to God. And before we can do that, we need to hear what He has to say to us. That's why we have services of the Word and the Sacrament, or services of preaching and prayer. Two-way conversation, God gets the first word. We are that deaf and mute man in today's gospel. Deaf to the word, mute to praise. And unless the Lord grabs a hold of our tongue, do you like that? What they brought the man to Jesus so He could lay hands on him. And Jesus says, I'll go you one better. And He sticks His fingers in the guy's ears and he spits. And he grabs a hold of his tongue. It's like abuse of the handicapped here or something. But it makes sense. The man can't hear. How is he going to hear the word of the Lord? He hears through his eyes and through his senses. And so he senses the Son of God's fingers going in his ears, and he sees the face of Jesus looking up to heaven to the Father of lights, who is unchanging, from whom every good and perfect gift comes. And he spits and grabs hold of his tongue. Only if the Lord does that to us, sticks His word in our ears and grabs hold of our tongue, is anything good going to come out of us. Otherwise, it's the usual stuff, the cursing, the vile speech, the dirty jokes, the gossip, the slander, the lies. Unless the Lord cries out His Ephatha, our ears will not be opened to His word. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Anger is like static, background noise in our hearing. It's interference. You ever try to worship when you're angry? Get anything out of it? Hear anything? Ever try to have a conversation with a spouse while you're angry? Do you hear anything besides the noise? You know, the pounding of your own anger inside your head. Anger's like static on the radio or that snow that you get on television when your reception's not good. You can tell I don't have cable, can't you? Huh? It's got the rabbit ears. And that's anger. Anger plugs our ears and it fouls our tongues. And James says it never, never works the righteousness of God. Anger is what happens when we get the notion that we're not God. We suddenly realize we're in the passenger seat, not the driver's seat. That makes us mad. We're not in charge. We're not in control. Anger is our response to loss. See, when I lose something, I have to acknowledge I'm not in control. So I lose the keys to my car, and what happens? I get angry. Then what happens? Stream of profanity comes out of my mouth. Why? Because I've lost control of the keys of my car. We lose control of our health. What happens? Very often we get angry. Lose control of our kids. Yeah, you never had control of them anyway, but you thought you did. You thought you did, and then all of a sudden you realize you don't, and you get angry about it. Lose control of your spouse. That you never, really never had control over. And shouldn't try either, but you do. And you get angry because you've lost control. You lose a loved one to death. We get angry. Get angry at God. Get angry at the doctors. Got to sue. Somebody's got to pay for this, huh? Because we can't deal with debt and it's dogging us every day. We live lives in anger and so we sit and stew. And all the while God's speaking. He has something to say to us. And the static gets in the way of the hearing. James says, get rid of the filth, the wickedness. It's like earwax in your ears. Get rid of that. Says the world is full of it. James knew it full well. Our world is full of it too. You know, we sadly underestimate the cumulative effect of filth, wickedness, foul speech, lies. We underestimate what that does to our hearing. I've come to notice this lately. I've had this permanent ringing in this ear. Gonna have that checked out. It's irritating. It's getting in the way of hearing music. You know what it is? It's 30 years of rock and roll, baby. 30 years. And it has a cumulative effect on your hearing. They told me that when I was a teenager. You're gonna be hard of hearing one day. They were right. I didn't listen. I just turned up the volume, huh? It'll be okay. Don't imagine that you can wallow in the mud and the muck of this culture and not get dirty, that it will just float off of you, you know, like you're covered with Teflon. You know, James is not speaking to the world out there. He's speaking to his fellow believers in here. He's talking to the church. And he says, you need to put away the filth of the old Adam. Just as the Apostle Paul urged his hearers to put to death the works of the sinful nature, immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, discourse, jealousy, rage, selfishness, division, drunkenness, envy. That's around us every day. We walk through that. We participate in it. We see it in the movies, on TV. We have that stuff drummed into our ears through the music of the streets. You know, my block, there's some kid washes his car every Sunday, flips open the doors, and the doors are a couple of huge speakers. And out comes the most vile filth I have ever heard out of a radio. Just blasting straight into, you know, my living room. We read about it in our magazines or newspapers. It's plastered all over the internet. The internet, one of the greatest pieces of free speech ever known to man. And what's the chief commodity on the internet? Porn. Don't think for a second that you're immune to it or that I am. Baptism is not a Teflon coating, which means you can walk through this stuff and nothing sticks. Baptism is a call to struggle, a call to warfare, a call to engage the old Adam, a call to die and to rise. to drown the old Adam together with its sin and evil desires, and each day to have a new person in Christ rise up in baptism as a free child of God and to receive and embrace by faith this word implanted in us that saves us, and by that word to live before God in righteousness and a purity that is not ours, but it's the righteousness and purity of Christ. That is true freedom. Freedom to live, freedom to love, freedom to serve. And it begins with hearing the word. It begins with God's epitha, opening our ears to hear. There's a kind of hearing that really isn't hearing. Wives know about that. They're, you know, say, you never listen to me. It's because I got this ringing in my ear. That's why you never listen. You know, you can say, you know, but nothing. Where the words go in and rattle around and nothing happens. That's hearing without doing. Honey, would you please take out the garbage? Oh yeah, I will. You know, and then 3 weeks of garbage days go by. It's hearing without doing. Hearing without the expectation that the word that goes in is going to do something. James says that's like a man who goes up, looks in a mirror, sees his hair sticking out all over the place, and, you know, sees a piece of green lettuce coming out of his teeth, and then he walks away and forgets about what he saw. And he never picks up a hairbrush or toothbrush. Have you ever thought about the readings that we read here during the hymn of the day? You ever catch yourself forgetting what you just heard? Or sometimes say, did we do the readings? What was the Old Testament reading? It's Isaiah, wasn't it? 35? Or the sermon? We remember the jokes. You know, I like doing that sometimes. People say, oh, I heard a really good sermon on Sunday. There's somewhere else. I said, what was it about? Don't remember. It was really good, though. Pastor tells this good story. Tells the story. What was the text? I can't remember. What did I have to say about Jesus? Not sure. Good story, though. It was great. Loved it. Everybody thought it was cool. The liturgy, God is speaking to us, implanting his word into us, and then it hits those clogged ears and nothing happens. Remember Jesus' parable, the four kinds of soil. Rocky, shallow, weedy, conflicted. Seed planted, no fruit, but only in that plowed up, broken, ground up soil does the implanted word produce the fruit that it seeks to produce. There's another kind of false hearing, and that's being a critic of the word instead of a hearer. I know this well. It's a professional malady of every preacher, and I'm reminded of this when I go on the road and my wife and I go to worship in another congregation on Sunday, and I'm sitting there listening to the sermon thinking, now how would I preach that? Or, gee, he missed that Greek verb in the second verse. You know, and all the while, I am missing what God wants to say to me that day. Because I'm not a hearer of the word, I'm a critic of the word. A critic who watches a movie never gets into the plot line, right? Am I right, Charlie? Charlie knows this, you know. If you're looking at the technical aspects of the movie, you never get sucked into the plot. You know, you're not going to start crying, laughing, or you're looking at, oh, well, that's kind of a bad scene, or, you know, he should have shot that from a different angle. And we do that too. You know, we come to church and we say, well, you know, wasn't quite up to snuff this morning, or I don't know, kind of irritated me this morning. God wants to speak to us. He has something to say to us. And if we're critics of the word, picking and choosing what suits us, we will not hear. See, and that's old Adam again. Did God really say? We hear, and yet we don't hear. Be doers, James says, not hear, not simply hearers. That word that we hear, the word going into our ears, is the same word that created everything in the beginning. That's a powerful word. It's a word that called light out of darkness. It's a word that separated sea from dry land. It's a word that called up plants from the earth. It's the word that put fish in the sea and birds in the air. It's the word that created man out of mud and gave life It's the word that sustains us. It's the word that literally keeps us and holds us in our existence. Don't think for a second that word doesn't have power, and when it goes into our ears, it is going to do something. It's Christ. Christ in action. Christ working in and through us. It is God at work both for us to will and to do His good pleasure. The word that you hear, it takes hold of your heart. It plows you under like soil under a rototiller. It's not an empty, idle word. It's a word that says you are forgiven. And you know what? You are forgiven. It's a word that says you are new. You are born from above. You are a new creature. And you know what? You are a new creature. Live as one. It's a word that says you are free. Truly free. Now live as one who is truly free. That's what it means to be a doer of the word. First, to believe it, to trust it, to let that word have its way so that God is at work in you to do His pleasure. The word that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him with your life and with your death, and the doer of the word believes it and trusts it. The word says, don't try to bear your sins. Christ bore them for you. Confess your sins, be forgiven, walk away free, guilt-free. Hear that forgiveness. And the doer of the word does that, confesses his or her sins, receives forgiveness, trusts it. And the word says, love as you have been loved by Jesus. Word says that too. Love that widow, that orphan, the least, the little, the forgotten in this world. Love them in the same way that Jesus has loved you as the first fruits of His creation. Works of mercy. That's what made people in the first century notice Christians. They did unconditional works of mercy. They gave themselves away because they had nothing to lose. And they recognized that in those widows and those orphans and those people that nobody cared for, Christ was there, hidden in them to serve, because they remembered the words of Jesus, for as often as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And they did it not to be saved, they did it because they were saved. And they wanted to show what salvation looked like to a world that didn't know. Christ hung on a cross to free you. Christ hung on a cross to open your ears. Christ hung on a cross to loose your tongue so that you might sing His praises. You are the first fruits of a harvest of righteousness to come in the resurrection. Truly, He has done everything well. He's done everything well with you, and you are on the receiving end of all the well that He has done. Hear it, speak it, do it, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.